Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of the Cult Pop Show podcast was brought to you by our Patreon. If you want to tell us which films we should watch, get up to 2 extra exclusive podcasts a month, give us something to talk about in the post-credits scene at the end of each episode, or join us for our monthly movie club Zoom call where we discuss a film together, then please consider joining the cult and donating at www.patreon.com/cultpopshow.
Right, okay.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, welcome along to another very last-minute episode of Richard and AJ Didn't Know What This Podcast Would Be About This Time Yesterday.
This time yesterday. I was going to say this time this morning, but that wouldn't make sense.
Yeah.
We had some ideas. So, essentially, if you're new to our show, welcome and thank you for sticking around. Between episodes of Film Franchise Fortnights, we try to fill out the week with you know, some kind of content. It's often shorter form, but that's okay. And we've got our annual Oscars season coming up where we do Oscar-based podcasts.
Oscar-bait podcasts?
Yeah, and but we had this 1 week free, and it was like, well, what do we do it on? And because last week was delayed, we were sort of like concentrating on that. The Snyder Cut came out, and I was like, well, let's just do a Snyder Cut thing for the podcast. And then by the time this morning rolled around, it was like, okay, but what? Like, do we just review it? And then Richard was like, I'm probably not going to be able to watch it in time.
Because you know what? Also, it's 4 hours long.
Yeah, having seen it myself, I'm not sure there is a minimum 45 minutes to an hour episode in it.
Yeah.
Of talking about it. I don't know if I have that much to say off the top of my head. I would need to write some stuff down. I did think maybe we could do like, you haven't seen it, so you interview me about it. Or we do like,
but then the interview would be entirely, don't tell me anything because I'm going to watch it.
But you've seen Justice League 2017. It's,
yeah, but I don't want to know what the changes are. Like, right. I don't know. What would I be interviewing you about?
I don't
like,
know.
Without describing the movie or answering my question in any way, does it improve on Justice League? But don't tell me.
I thought you wouldn't care enough about the movie to worry about spoilers, was my assumption.
No, it's not so much about spoilers. I don't know. It's more about, I more want to form my own opinion.
Right. I thought of as well doing sort of a spin-off on an actual movie or cheese dream game where it's, I describe scenes to you and you have to work out if they're actually in Zack Snyder's Justice League or if I made it up.
But I don't let you tell me
what to do.
The answers.
Yeah, I don't. Well, the fact that I didn't once consider that you would care enough about this movie to not want to know certain things. So we're not.
I don't like when you see movies before me. I'm sorry.
Well, you okay? I will stop watching any movie before you then.
Okay. No, well, like you know, I wouldn't want to do a podcast that highlights the power imbalance of you having seen a movie that I haven't.
Have you seen George of the Jungle yet for next week's Film Franchise Fortnight?
No.
Neither. So instead of all of that, we thought we'd do a classic cult popshire tangentially related topic.
It's not that tangentially related.
It's still tangentially, as in we're doing it because the Snyder Cut came out, we're doing this subject. That's what I mean.
But this is actually an idea we've had for a little while.
Yeah. And this is a good place to do it, a good way to tie it into. So what this is, I'm not 100% on what the title of the episode will be. At the moment, I'm thinking
movies that deserve a second chance.
Yeah, or second chance or second attempt. Or
I think second chance because we'll go over it and like what that can mean.
Okay, well, take it away. What does that mean?
Okay, so movies that deserve a second chance. What I've kind of divided this up into, and we took suggestions from Discord and Patreon and we'll kind of talk, but and Twitter. In my kind of categorization of this, and a few of these have happened recently or are going to happen, so that's like a you know, ties into multiple things. But obviously, so I've got four different categories of what a second chance can mean.
Mm-hmm.
So. You've got like a recut of the film, which is, you know, we saw with The Godfather, Coda, The Death of Michael Corleone, or the Snyder Cut, or mm-hmm. there's Rocky IV is getting another right. cut. Superman 2. And so another option is as a sequel. And so this one, you know, something like The Suicide Squad, James Gunn's upcoming Suicide Squad is... You know, that's a sequel, but it's a second chance. It's Venom, Let There Be Carnage is kind of looking to be that.
All three Wolverine movies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A remake or reboot. So these are kind of different, but I put them together. But, you know, you've got like A Star Is Born, or which even though the, you know, the originals of that aren't bad, but, you know, that was just the first example that came to my mind of a remake that is good, and or like the upcoming The Batman, just another chance to get DC's Batman right.
Yeah, because one thing that is important for this whole discussion is the reason it needs a second chance is because it's taken a idea that had good stuff in it and fucked up the execution.
Yeah,
and so it's a second chance in the sense that so often we just have good ideas wasted on bad movies and are never revisited. But things like the Snyder Cut maybe suggest that that's not always the way.
And some of these times it's like, yeah, there's gold in them there hills, and it doesn't take much to make it good. So those are three options. The fourth option is actually the most simple one. Mm-hmm. And that is that a second chance in the sense that it just maybe needs a critical reevaluation.
Okay.
It needs to be looked at under a different lens. A classic example of this for the podcast would be Josie and the Pussycats, or Big Trouble. You know, these kind of movies that weren't super well received when they came out but have now garnered a cult following.
I think people need to rewatch RoboCop 3. Especially in our, you know, in the ACAB age, I think RoboCop 3 has a lot more to say than its 3% on Rotten Tomatoes suggests. Yeah, yeah.
But I think that, it'll be interesting to go through as we look through the suggestions that people have made, that some of these I think are going to just be, you know, critical reevaluations, that you look at it under a slightly different lens, you may don't judge it so harshly. I think we'll see some interesting stuff. So let's just crack right into it. We've divided this by platform as to where they came to us. Starting off with Twitter, do you have anything else you want to say before we crack into it?
I was just going to say I haven't taken everyone's ideas. And
So if your idea isn't here, it's because it was bad.
Or because someone else said it, and it's like, cool, that person said it. But otherwise, we've credited everyone.
At Swagless Joe, Ryan O'Brien on Twitter, said, I've always been a fan of Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. The premise always intrigued me, as well as the tone and commitment to gruesomely melt a kid's face off. I feel to some it only bears the title of being the one without Michael Myers. I feel it could go us another round. Now, to me, this is one that needs just a simple critical reevaluation, and it has gone then, and this is a cult classic, and a lot of people consider it their favorite or their second favorite Halloween film, because it's just a fairly original horror movie from the 80s. But what do you think? I pitched in the Halloween episode, I believe I pitched a direct sequel to Halloween 3 that was about what it's like to now exist in a world where an entire generation of children were killed.
Yeah. So I was unsure of what the critical response to Halloween 3 was these days. And then I watched a Chris Stuckman review, and he was so harsh on it. And he was like,
really?
This has got to be, he was like, because he loves Halloween, the movies. Right.
Well,
but he was like, this has got to be one of the most boring horror movies ever made. And I kind of see where he's coming from. I wasn't crazy about Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, but I do agree it just has had a critical reevaluation. I don't think it necessarily needs a remake. It maybe just needs to play at a film festival and reminded remind people
Yeah, like a bigger like Moon Knight movie kind of thing.
Yeah,
I think that as well, like, you know, this could be it'll be really interesting to see this remade as well, because it is a cool premise. Oh, and if you haven't seen it or you haven't heard our episode on it, the premise of it is essentially that these Halloween masks are being sold, and you know, when this this thing plays on Halloween night, and it's going to be like, all right, kids, put your masks on, and it just like it murders the kids, it like it turns them into bugs. It's quite gruesome, like Ryan said, and it ends ambiguously as well, which is really cool.
If anything, it deserves its critical reevaluation, because there's almost an NSA wiretappy kind of thing going on
exactly.
with the masks. So it might be more. Yeah.
I think if you did remake it,
It should just be called Season of the Witch, though. I think its association with Halloween.
Cool. Well, I mean, that doesn't even make sense as a title for it, really.
Yeah,
but,
true.
It just to be Silver Shamrock.
Yeah.
Happy, happy Halloween, yeah. Halloween, happy Silver Shamrock. Yeah. This one, I think, yeah, for what it's trying to be and for what similar movies around the time are like, you know, do quite well critically, it's not, the quality isn't that different. But I think, yeah, at the time, obviously, people were just upset that it didn't have Michael Myers. It has a fantastic tagline, though. Because there's the original Halloween has "the night he came home" as the tagline, mm-hmm. and then this one is "the night no one came home."
Oh God! Ooh. Our next suggestion. Our next suggestion on Twitter is from @TylerBrayley. He says, "Never understood why both Surrogates and Jumper didn't get sequels when they both end on a setup. I still think of Samuel Jackson trapped in that cave on the cliff in Jumper. Do it now while Hayden Christensen's stocks are cheap." I haven't seen Surrogates,
Surrogates is the Bruce Willis movie, right?
Yes, I don't know if I can comment on that, but Jumper is a really great example of a movie that everything about it was set up to be like, right, guys, so yeah, we'll do a franchise out of this, obviously. And then the first one came out. Was it that bad? I don't remember it being that bad.
Should we check its like critical reception? Because I have a similar thing that it's like, it's just assumed it would be a franchise, right?
This is the one about Hayden Christensen teleporting. Yeah. He has teleportation powers, if people haven't seen it.
Let's go, where are we? Reception, critical reception, 15% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's so low for how good I remember the beat. Well, no, I don't remember being good, I just don't remember being bad. And I remember being like really fascinated by the concept of teleportation.
It's based on a book series as well, which has several sequels.
Yes, yep. Yeah, I'm going to say put it in the either remake it, but based on the book series, or give it a sequel. What's Samuel Jackson doing in that cave 15 years later?
this one, I think, could do a good second chance sequel that's like, one of those sequels where it's like a director's now aged into being able to direct, that loved this film growing up. And
sure, yeah.
And like one of those kind of things where it's like, we're making another Jumper movie. This is going to be a good starting point for the franchise, but it's also a sequel. Like, you know, maybe Hayden Christensen's going to show up and teach Timothy Chalamet the ropes. One of those kind of ones where like a legacy sequel.
Next we got from @DSearl. David Searle on Twitter. He says, inspired by the Snyder Cut and not as good an idea, a Doctor Strangelove remake by Michael Bay. This isn't exactly the moot of what we asked for, but I thought that was a funny suggestion, and maybe we could expand that into another episode, like pairing up a director with a classic film and spitballing what that would look like. You can almost do it randomly, like a random generator for the movie and a random generator for the director. That could be a whole podcast. You could do a whole podcast series where at the end of each one you randomly generate a name in a movie, and then the next week the host comes to the co-host with
full screenplay,
a pitch. A full screenplay, absolutely,
and storyboards
which you're never shown, because it's
because, well, it's a, you podcast. Get 1,000 words for each picture.
Okay, of course. Do you want to do the next one?
I was waiting for you to. So Ben at Ben Johnson Films on Twitter said,
Centero, our YouTube friend.
Says YouTube friend.
Well, he is our YouTube friend.
Makes it sound lame. We definitely need a director's cut of David Ayer's Suicide Squad. The film was taken from him and re-edited by a trailer editing company to give it more Guardians of the Galaxy-esque. To make it more Guardians of the Galaxy-esque, sorry. I desperately want to see what the original darker version of it was like. This is an interesting one. This is one that obviously with the Snyder Cut, this is kind of at the forefront of discussion at the moment because, yeah, there is some talk of a David Ayer cut of Suicide Squad. There's famously a few more scenes of the Joker that aren't in the film, so it's like that are in the trailer, so there's definitely more footage. It's not just like a simple re-editing. I don't know how interested I am necessarily to see it, but it is that kind of thing that we've spoken about before, that the Snyder Cut is such a fascinating, what it says about the future of Hollywood is so fascinating, and this idea that, yeah, we're like getting back to like auteur cinema, but 3 years later, you know?
Yeah. Here are my thoughts. One, I don't think the general public are as willing to return to Suicide Squad as they were to Justice League. Well, not, you know, specifically this iteration of Suicide Squad.
Also because, like, Zack Snyder has fanboys, but I don't think exactly. David does.
Well, that's what I was about to say. I would foolishly say David Ayer is not a creative voice I'm particularly interested in seeing a uncompromised vision from. But I would have said the same thing about Zack Snyder. I think it's so funny that the army of Zack Snyder bros, that it's Zack Snyder, that's the director that has created this vitriol and this toxic army. For the most part, if you like Zack Snyder and you don't harangue me on Twitter for dunking on him,
I like Zack Snyder. I'm just not a big fan of his films. He seems like such a cool dude.
Sorry. Yeah, no, totally.
Do you think this would improve on it necessarily?
Well, David Ayer until the Snyder Cut was basically actually a thing, was like, no, the released version is my version. Is there a more interesting cut of Suicide Squad, like, possible? Maybe. I don't think it exists, I think.
Well, but a lot of the issues with Suicide Squad, like, yeah, because some of them it's like, oh, yeah, what's these scenes that were taken out? How do they fit in? But, yeah, a lot of... Suicide Squad's just so, like, the energy of it at the start is just so all over the place. And, like, the cool kind of character title cards that come up and explain who each person is are just, it's this insane energy that, but that's all stuff that can be edited in post. And I wonder if that was not a David Ayer thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the fact is that Suicide Squad is literally a film that is getting one of these categories, which is a sequel that is acting as a...
It's one of the examples we have for the category.
Yeah, it's a sequel that keeps the cast, but ostensibly is starting again, which is a very specific move. So, I mean, it essentially is getting the second chance. And I'm much more interested in a James Gunn Suicide Squad than a David Ayer Suicide Squad.
Yeah, especially when it was, you know, everyone says it was recut to make it more Guardians of the Galaxy, so it's like, we'll just get him then. Yeah. Although, to be fair,
it to the guy.
Yeah, when they were like, how do we make our Justice League more like the Avengers?
This is a better way to do that, though.
Yeah, yeah. James Gunn's better than Joss Whedon.
Well, and also because I don't disagree with that, but also, well, we don't know anymore, do we? Fuck. Every day new shit's coming out about people. But no, I was going to say that, like, Joss Whedon was dealing with something that was half finished, whereas James Gunn wrote the script and everything. Yeah. So it's So I'm not interested in seeing David Ayer's uncompromised Suicide Squad, but I'm looking forward to James Gunn movies.
Yeah. So Strahan Cole, not sure how to say that, but I tried two ways, so hopefully one was right.
He's on the Discord. I think it's Strahan. I think it's just Strahan.
Right, oh yeah. Yeah, that's a rare American pronunciation. Like call it the saying Craig is Craig. But anyway, Spider Daddy, they go by. But yes. Wonder Woman 1984, I just want to believe there's a good movie hiding somewhere in there. Now, this is a really interesting one because I actually... I'm thinking more about like how I felt about Wonder Woman 84, like as the credits started to roll. And I think this one could actually be improved with a recut. However, and I'm going to say something very controversial here, especially for you, AJ. I actually think that this would be improved by bringing to HBO Max Warner Brothers Wonder Woman 1984. I think this actually needed some studio notes. And I think that's the problem. Mm. I think that we got Patty Jenkins' Wonder Woman 1984, the uncompromised vision, and seeing comments from her about the film, I actually think that if someone else had a pass at the edit, it might have been improved.
Well, it's the script too, and I actually totally agree. I was a pretty big Patty Jenkins fan when she only had two films to judge by, but yeah. Like Wonder Woman 1984, she's one of the sole screenwriters on it. Like she wrote it as well.
Yeah, and just I find it so interesting that quote from her about how like she fought to keep both openings in the film, and it's like, oh, that was the wrong choice.
One of the things wrong with it. Yeah, I'm not convinced there is a good movie hiding in there somewhere. If we're giving
It's just Pedro Pascal's scenes.
Yeah. If we're giving it a what are the categories again? So we've got a recut,
sequel slash retry, a reboot or remake, or a critical reevaluation.
I guess it would just be a recut then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would have to be. Yeah.
Like that's. Yeah, I mean, you could probably, this is similar, we'll talk about this, I think, because I think someone suggested this. This is similar to the Hobbit trilogy, where it's more like the bits and pieces are all there, they were just put together wrong. Yeah. Like, you can probably cut out a lot of the troubling stuff, or redesign what Cheetah looks like, if that's one of the problems.
Yeah, exactly, and stuff like, but even, yeah, Chris Pine coming back in someone else's body, that
weirdest,
I think could be cut out of the film. I don't think you would have to reshoot much of anything. Maybe a little bit ADR, but you could kind of remove that from the film without really changing anything. And that's why it's so weird, is because the scene where she realizes that, you know, she's essentially sexually assaulting this man and that she's stolen someone's life doesn't exist. And so the scene where the reason for him coming back in this way to make sense, to like actually fit into the story, doesn't exist. So you could just take out the scenes where they say that and he's just miraculously appeared.
It's
so strange.
Yeah.
But yeah, and like Pedro Pascal was great.
I loved him. He was great.
I had so much fun with him, and I actually think he's a great idea for a villain and a lot of things, but yeah, this could be done differently. And I think, yeah, it is like a recut could improve it. I don't know if it would make it on par with the first one or Monster, but yeah, the you could improve it with a recut, I think.
The first ever producer cut in history, or like thing advertised as a producer cut.
No, it's not. There's,
oh, it's not?
I saw a movie recently, I think Highlander 2
has a marketed as the producer's cut. Interesting.
Yeah, or Halloween 6. Yeah, Halloween 6 had a producer's cut.
Fascinating. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, that's the one with Paul Rudd.
Oh, yeah.
For anyone following at home. Yeah, the film's home media release, the original work print of the film, blah, blah, blah. This version dubbed the producer's cut, developed a cult following, and it was officially released on Blu-ray as the producer's cut.
All right. Well, Tim_Bat, our friend of the podcast / our podcast network daddy, he's tweeted us and said, X-Men The Last Stand. What's interesting is they kind of did get a second chance with this. It's called X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Like you want a third chance at the Dark Phoenix storyline?
Tim didn't add anything else. I think maybe he's just listing like a movie he'd rather see be better. Because I'm thinking, like, is it the specific events of that movie? Like, are you saying, like, the sum of the parts are better than the whole? Or is it who directed Last Stand?
Brett Ratner.
So is he wanting a Brett Ratner, a Ratner cut? Release the Ratner cut! because that sounds like that's the only possible... I mean, it has sequels. It has a remake. It's probably not going to get a cultural reevaluation. So I would say a recut is the only option left.
I just think it's a very funny thing that's like, because there is a second chance and we know exactly what it would be like. All right, what do we got next? Owen likes comics. The first thing that came to mind for me was Spider-Man 3. Raimi was forced to add Venom and the black suit in, and if you disregard that, there's probably a really interesting movie in there about Peter, Harry, and the Sandman.
I think this is a possibility as well for a recut. The Raimi cut of Spider-Man 3, and today's post-Snyder cut world, not only do I think that this could very easily become a movement that springs up to release the Raimi cut, I think it might actually happen. I mean, you're dealing...
I think Venom's too intrinsically tied to the climax of the film. But, I think the Peter, Harry, and the Sandman, you've got a great conclusion to your trilogy there in a lot of ways. And, like, because you think about the worst parts of Spider-Man 3 that people talk about. It's, you know, the emo Peter Parker strutting down the street. And that's all a result of the black suit.
That's true. That is true. So do you cut out all that? I don't know. I'm just like, you're dealing with very different parameters because the movie is how old now? Like 15, 16, 14 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah, 14 years old. And so, you know, you can't just go and reshoot something with a now.
Yeah, that's the thing. You need a few reshoots and a lot of extra CGI and stuff. Yeah. But in a perfect world, I think this could very, very much be possible. Or this could have been a, you know, give us a, if we're doing this podcast in 2009, it would have been like, give us a Spider-Man 4 that fixes all these mistakes.
And I mean, with all the rumors of all the Spider-Men appearing in Spider-Man No Way Home and Sam Raimi actually directing Doctor Strange 2, what I'm saying is like the cauldron, all the right ingredients are being added to the cauldron for a fan base uprising clamoring for a true vision of Spider-Man 3. Though, as you say, it does sound like it was at the script that the problem was, not at the edit. At Dylan Hutton 4 tweeted us and said, even though I don't mind the films we got, the Hobbit trilogy could get recut, cut out the filler, which puts it down to two movies, and we've got an adventure that seems more desperate and driven, or better yet, show us Del Toro's version. It's sad we didn't get that much love. Thank you, Dylan. Mm. Now, look, we talked about this on the Hobbit episode. There is a good movie and a half in The Hobbit that you could edit out of it. And people have done that. There are countless fan edits of The Hobbit trilogy.
To follow on directly from Spider-Man 3, Topher Grace did a cut.
Yep.
A 2-hour cut of The Hobbit trilogy. And I believe it was to deal with the stress of playing David Duke in Black Klansman.
Yeah.
Or like that was his way of like decompressing when he got home.
Yep. So while I think this would be another producer's cut because Peter, I certainly don't want to see the Jackson cut of the Hobbit trilogy. I mean, I have seen
just longer.
I have seen it. There was the extended version. It was horrible. Mm. But I do think more than seeing a recut, I kind of would rather they just greenlight Del Toro's version.
Yeah, the remake / reboot.
Yeah, why not?
Route. Yeah, yeah. Just be like, yeah, cool. I'm making a Hobbit series.
Yep.
And I guess because we're getting the Lord of the Rings TV series as well, it's like,
exactly.
Exactly. They should get Del Toro on as a director for a couple of episodes.
Mm. They should do that. Tyrese Gibson Central Air at Adiamio. Dio Mio said, you might need a separate category for superhero movies. They're usually under some sort of studio pressure to include a character or plot line that'll weigh the film down just by nature. No studio ever looked at a legal thriller and said, we need another lawyer in Act 3. That's a good point. It's fun.
That's a very good joke.
And Jezza at Holding the Molo said, Godzilla King of the Monsters by Gareth Edwards. Take on board some of the criticisms of the first and make something biblical like the trailers implied. I don't think Gareth Edwards was like wanting to return to the series.
Yeah, he didn't make the sequel. Yeah, for anyone listening, he didn't make the sequel. Yeah. I think Jesus suggesting getting Gareth Edwards to do the sequel one. Yeah, this is an interesting one. Again, this could probably be King of the Monsters could probably be improved by a recut, because that's one of the biggest problems with the film, is that it's so bogged down with like the human storyline, and the human storyline just being so stupid.
Yeah.
And so yeah, just cut some of that shit out and you've got a better film.
The all these franchise films feel impervious to the sequel or remake route, because it's like, well, that just happens anyway. So yeah, that will happen. I don't know if that counts. Upbeat at upbeat_me says, Alien vs Predator. I always thought the trend of secret sequels to previous movies like Glass to Unbreakable would work like this. Have a movie that's like Predators and an original film, and at the end, Xenomorphs for a third act ending. That's a cool idea.
Yeah, that actually reminds me. I said to you earlier that I thought of one on the plane this morning that I was going to talk about, and it was Glass.
Oh, right.
Your Glass was shit, eh?
Do you reckon a recut? What do you reckon?
I do, like, it's one that I hope that there's enough unused footage to be good, because some of it's quite good.
Yeah, but the thing is why the Snyder Cut was able to happen, and why that's kind of the perfect example, is because it was a director's vision. It's completely in the edit. By the time it was out of Snyder's hands, the story had been locked. Whereas Shyamalan is a very, his vision is felt in every film that he makes. So, again, we wouldn't be looking at a Shyamalan cut of Glass. We'd be looking at...
especially because he, like, self-funds and stuff. Yeah, as well, yeah. So it's not like he gets... because he pays to have final cut on his movies. But, yeah, like, just the ending of that movie is so dumb.
Yeah. Oh, the whole thing, and how they like literally set up, like there's a giant building where you need to get to, and it's like, cool, third act set piece, and then they don't even leave the parking lot.
that's a baffling movie. Yeah, maybe if just someone else says, I'm gonna make the third movie in the East Rail 177 trilogy.
Over on Discord, Dan from Hawaii and Dr. Barrel from Sweden both suggested the Cat's Butthole cut, which, if I have a feeling the meme stocks that Cats as a film has died with the pandemic. People wanting to talk about Cats is gone, you know, like people aren't talking about Cats as much anymore. So that is to say, I don't think the joke that existed has got enough power to actually release the coveted butthole cut of Cats, which, if you don't know, was an earlier version of the film, which apparently all the cats had buttholes. I don't think it exists. I think it's not true.
Neither. Yeah, there's like, someone made a joke about it and it was like, okay, well, this is obviously fake. But then someone else said something about it. But then it's also like, that could just be fake, you know? And then there was like a leaked screen grab or something like that. Anyway, it's stupid. I don't think it exists.
Dan from Hawaii also says, Jupiter Ascending, which a film I haven't seen. Explanation, it's a hot mess of a film with a lot of strange choices left and right. I can't help but feel that there is a lot cut out for the time. They would have cleared up some things. It's also by the coolest sisters in Hollywood. I haven't seen Jupiter Ascending, but it feels like it made such... like it didn't make a drop in the ocean of pop culture that it's like, just make a different movie. I'm more interested in seeing the like, voices of the directorial voices make new stuff than specifically seeing
like The Matrix.
Yeah, exactly. Four. Yeah. Which was apparently called,
or another Speed Racer movie.
Have you seen Speed Racer?
Yeah, man.
Do you like it?
Do you?
I watched a little bit of it and then was like, this is not for me, and turned it off. And all like the bougie film people on Twitter are like, oh, it's underrated and amazing. And
do you just mean Patrick H. Willems?
No, Nando V. Movies really likes it as well. And it's just like, I don't know. I'm sure maybe I need to reevaluate it. Maybe it needs a reevaluation from specifically me.
That's the thing. I think Speed Racer is more of a critical reevaluation. But it's one of those things where it's playing a game that no one else is trying to play, you know, and that's why people don't get it.
Yeah.
It's surrealist, you know, and it's not trying to. It's essentially replicating the feel of anime, but in live action, and it's crazy, but it's in a good way, I think.
Right.
And it's not perfect, and I think, you know, the people like Patrick H. Williams and whatnot talk about it as if it's a flawless movie, but it's an incredible piece of artwork and filmmaking, which I watched once on my iPod over a decade ago. Granny Smith Fossaway. Sue says, and this is quite a common one in these kind of discussions, Eragon was a series of books written by a guy. I subtly put their repetition of the word art in there. Who was 17 at the time. I didn't know that. And the books were pretty good. Great for middle grades, for an intro into fantasy. And it was made into a movie that was absolute.
I think it was a poop emoji. Okay. Which is the opposite of being absolute.
Oh, yeah. It was supposed to become a series of movies and it never happened because the first one flopped so hard. Yeah, I don't know enough about the Eragon books, but I've heard they're really good. And that, like, this is the classic. And actually, the Stella Truzuma also said the Percy Jackson series.
Yeah, yeah.
All of them just no.
Yeah.
And these are two classic examples of, like, film adaptations of a book that missed the point or were terrible for whatever reason.
Just so it's not a case of a recut, it's a case of just a reboot. Whenever we do
readaptation.
Yeah. Whenever we do an episode like this where it's like getting suggestions from people, so many people suggest book adaptations, and it's so often for me undercuts what the point of the discussion is, I guess. Although I guess the Snyder Cut is in a lot of ways a book adaptation, in that it's a comic book characters, but it still is a specific story. Like, I remember when we did you went on this episode, this is from years ago, we did movies that should get a TV show adaptation, and so many people were just like, I didn't like this adaptation of this book, so it should be a TV show. And it's like, okay, that's not exactly what I meant.
Especially like when you're like, oh, I've read this book series and they made one movie, and it's like, they'd be able to have every line of dialogue and every scene from the book if the movie was 9 hours long, which it could be if it was a series.
Yeah, exactly. And on similar lines, Dr. Barrel from Sweden says, fucking Narnia. It is 6 books with an insane plot and only the most basic of movies. I believe a Narnia series is in production, is it not?
Yeah, that sounds right. I think it would work better as a TV series, actually. I don't know. Narnia is weird because they didn't finish the film series.
Well, they adapted them like out of order and stuff as well, I think.
Yeah, well, the books are out of order, aren't they?
You're out of order.
I'm out of order. You're out of order.
And Mike Noise bumped up says, we need to forget about the Dark Tower movie that was made and do the franchise properly as an HBO series. I think that's probably going to happen. Yeah. But below this is what I think is easily the most interesting submission we had from fans, which is from Tom Katsumi, who says, Dick, 1999, insert Valley Girls into key roles in other famous moments in history. So Dick is a movie about Richard Nixon, but it's told from the perspective of two, like, protesting Valley Girls. I think Kirsten Dunst is in it. And it's,
Michelle Williams.
That's such a funny idea to be like, it's Forrest Gump, but with basic girls.
That's great. Yeah, I love that.
Sweet.
And would that be like maybe is this a movie that just needs a critical reevaluation? Although it has 71% on Rotten Tomatoes. Give us another go, because it's like you say, this is an evergreen plot structure, essentially. Sweet. Love it. Thanks, Tom.
Granny Smith Fossaway also said, Westworld is a great example of a terrible movie that had a great idea and was turned into at least one season of an amazing show. Haven't seen the movie or the show. I've seen bits of the show. This is a great example of what could be born from
what can happen,
this podcast conversation. And Mike also said, not my idea. I saw someone suggest we let Abrams redo The Last Jedi and we let Johnson redo Rise of Skywalker. Then we can know how both would have finished the trilogy. What a fascinating concept. I don't want to keep That's watching great. Star Wars, but Star Wars in general probably should make an appearance on this podcast episode because I think you should redo. I think you should just make Duel of the Fates. Like, maybe it has to be animated or something like that. But I would be very surprised.
Like a motion comic kind of thing.
Yeah, and all the actors, half the actors are so burnt out that they don't want to return.
Half the audience is so burnt out, myself included. True. But, I think that's such a fascinating idea. There's also the movement to get fans to remake The Last Jedi. Remember that?
Yeah, man. That was great.
And that this group of fans somehow thought they would be able to like raise enough money to make a full budget version of
they actually had quite a lot of pledges, but it's still like illegal. That's the main problem.
Yeah.
But even like I mean, I know the prequels have their fans, and I'm not one of them. So even then, like, yeah, remake the prequels with better assets.
Remake everything except New Hope and Empire.
Yeah, man. Fuck yeah. Like,
or just accept that those will be the only two good Star Wars movies.
Yes.
Yeah. And Rogue One.
I think that
Star Wars is shit, man.
I think that there are a lot of bad things that will come out of Snyder Cut culture. That, you know, people, you know, entitled fans.
Oh,
and
it'll
stuff.
Be like your fanboys.
Yeah. But at the same time, I'm kind of charmed and morbidly curious about what could result if this got even bigger. Like, imagine if there was enough outcry to remake every Star Wars movie that actually happened. That would be fascinating. Like, it almost feels like it'd be like the intellectual property free market, and anyone can just make whatever. And like, what a world that would be. And because, like, scaling it back, I said that I didn't really care about a David Ayer Suicide Squad cut. If it exists, I would watch it. Like, I think there is a perceived negativity to, or like the people talk about Snyder Cut stuff as like, oh, and now we're getting another version of Justice League. It's like, I reckon I would be very interested in seeing alternate takes at major blockbusters quite often.
Yeah. Well, like, honestly, even I would be satisfied with, like, especially for the Star Wars examples, that, like, just a tell-all interview each with Abrams and Johnson and just be like, what would you have done?
Yeah, that'd be good enough, yeah.
Because the thing is that, you know, a lot of them go, like, they'll try and be like, oh, actually, I didn't think about it, or, you know, just let them do his thing. But it's like, with how much we as fans, or once fans of Star Wars, would, like, think about what would happen in the next movie. Surely you must be doing that if you wrote it. Like, you know, you just think, like, yeah, it's insane to me that they've both kind of just been like, no, that's what I would have done, or like, that's, you know, I didn't even think about it. It's like, I'm like, just genuinely curious, like, in the broadest strokes, where did you see each of these characters going?
Yeah, absolutely. Granny Smith Fossway said, what about the gun cut of Ant-Man? Did he mean the Edgar Wright cut? I don't know what the gun cut of Ant-Man.
Yeah, I don't know if that's like a common thing. But yeah, like, there's the scene that Edgar Wright released as like a proof of concept of Ant-Man was Ant-Man running up a gun, but that does happen in the film.
I don't think Edgar Wright has any footage, so I don't think that one would be possible.
No, there's the test reel he did to show what Ant-Man's powers would look like on camera.
Yeah, but it's not, again, it's not like the Snyder Cut where you can just release it. Fuck it, if we're doing remakes, yeah, get Edgar Wright back. Do an Ant-Man movie. Edgar Wright's Ant-Man.
And then get Peyton Reed to make Hot Fuzz.
Yeah. What a great pairing. Dan from Hawaii also says, Josie and the Pussycats deserved a sequel. What do you think? A sequel? Or just a reevaluation?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, this is definitely a classic example of just needs a critical reevaluation. And I'm not sure, like, a sequel would solve the issues, you know?
Yeah.
with how it's received. And but I mean, you could do, like, because it's such a satire on, like, consumerism, that you could probably tie it into, like, the bands getting back together for, like, a nostalgia tour and cashing in on all that, and have another. Yeah, actually, no, yeah, I could dig that.
Can you do that with films that have sort of as low of a profile in the pop cultural landscape as Josie and the Pussycats, though? Like, it's not like other cult films.
Yeah, like maybe like an HBO series.
Like, I like the film, and I don't think I could even remember what enough of what happens in it to, like, be emotionally invested in a sequel with the same characters and stuff. Dan also said
maybe just a series of shorts online produced during the pandemic, and like that, and just to get the conversation around Josie and the Pussycats happening again.
Yeah, Dan also said he thinks Venom applies, which Venom is getting that set literally that same as the Suicide Squad, a second chance sequel. Yeah. But I think he's saying it should get a recut. He says it's a film with seemingly no second act, just cutting from the first act to the third act in an instant. I would love to see a 3-hour director's cut of it. I don't know if I could take 3 hours of that movie, but I do like Tom Hardy. Stella Truzuma says a redo of Yesterday but without Ed Sheeran. I don't necessarily agree that Ed Sheeran was bad, but, and we talked about this the last time we talked about the Snyder Cut on this podcast, which was when we looked at Lost Media. The original script of Yesterday is sounds so much better than the movie we got, in my opinion. And I would love to see that.
But the biggest change is that he never makes it big, because that's realistic, and the whole point of the story is that it's about that feeling that, like, you can be holding on to the greatest, you know, what something you know is great, but you're not the vehicle for that to be delivered to the world.
A feeling that we here at Cult Popshire feel burning in our souls.
and the writer who sold his first script at age 60 knew this all too well, but Richard Curtis, who made it big straight out of film school, just goes, no, if you're good enough, you'll get big. That's what happened to me.
It's such a
fascinating,
oh my God,
out of touch.
It's like, such a fascinating story. It's such a fascinating story. Yeah. The behind the scenes stuff, which we've been into.
And then he talks about the fact that everyone says, because essentially all that ended up being left over was the premise from his cut, from his script, and everyone says, yeah, the movie wasn't great, but I loved the premise.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, well, that's what I fucking came up with. make his original script.
Just change the title.
This is
just
another
change
one.
The title.
Call it Get Back.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
this is another one that it's like, this is such a great premise that we've now wasted, and we're not going to get a movie.
Yeah, we're not going
to
get
another one that I would say is like that for me is Sausage Party.
Right.
That's such a great premise for a film that wasn't, it's fine, but it's not living up to its full potential, and now we're never going to get the movie that does.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing about Sausage Party is, it's animated like a Pixar movie, but it's like, why have they never made a Pixar movie about food? Because it'd be horrifying. And then you start the movie and it's like a sausage being like, God, I want to fuck that bun so hard and cum all over her fat tits. And it's like, why are they cursing already? Like, the movie should have treated it.
They should be corrupted.
It should be corrupted by finding out the truth. That they get eaten when they get taken home. And so, I was disappointed by that. And it was very much like, you know, Rick and Morty's been out for a few years, but now every adult animated show is literally just like, no, they swear. And it's like, yeah, okay, but how's that funny? It's like, because they're animated. And it's like, those don't go together.
Yeah.
It's okay. That's all you've done for comedy.
Stella also suggested the original Emperor's New Groove movie, which I only just found out about recently. It was called Kingdom of the Sun. Do you know about
Kingdom of the Sun.
It was like a more traditional Renaissance Disney kind of musical.
And Sting was doing the music, and there's a documentary about it.
Would love to see that.
About the making of it.
Dr. Beryl from Sweden suggests what I think is a great idea as well. Another great idea from Dr. Beryl is the Haunted Mansion movie, the Eddie Murphy Haunted Mansion movie. This was like the first...
I haven't seen the movie, but I've been on the ride, and I was too scared, and I shut my eyes the whole time.
Well, this was the first big... theme park ride adaptation after Pirates of the Caribbean, I think.
And the third one was Jungle Cruise.
And I'm all about...
No, it was the beer one, actually.
Oh, the Country Bears.
Country Bears, yeah.
Let's re-cultural re-evaluation for the Country Bears. But I think Haunted Mansion has a lot of... I feel like you could do a lot of great things with Haunted Mansion, you know? Mm.
Well, it's that fun, like that movie, the house with the clock on its walls. That kind of kids horror that they don't really make anymore.
Monster House. How good is Monster House?
I didn't see it, but that kind of thing where it's like, more kind of classic examples like The Witches. Mm-hmm. These movies that it's like, yeah, they're actually genuinely meant to be scary, but they're also for kids. We should see more of those.
And our last one here is from Josh Monson, who suggests Age of Ultron, which, as you know, in the doghouse and out of the spotlight as Joss Whedon is now. This is maybe the next closest example, ironically, to the Snyder Cut, is the Whedon cut of Age of Ultron. Is like that's the same situation as the Snyder Cut. It was tampered with. It was a compromised version of his vision, and it suffered critically for it. I don't know if the footage exists. Does the footage exist?
Not that I'm aware of. No, it's more of like he didn't want to do. But then also like he didn't want to put Thanos in and stuff like that because he thought Thanos was boring. I don't know. It's not a very good movie.
And that is all our suggestions. I think wrapping up a tight little episode, I think this has been fun. And some ideas for future episodes in there as well, especially with the Michael Bay's Doctor Strangelove. I want to explore that in a later episode. Richard, any final thoughts? What are you anticipating the Snyder Cut will be like? As a man who hasn't seen
the movie? I don't know. I'm actually just really nervous about 4 hours that.
It's 3:50. If that makes it any better, that's technically.
Oh, sorry. I might chuck it on now.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much.
How did you find the length of it?
I was like mentally prepared for it. I'm going to sit down with my friend Josh, who just left the Age of Ultron comment, and we're going to watch a 4-hour movie together. So I was like. We got snacks and everything.
Oh yeah, but in terms of like, were you like, fuck, this feels like 4 hours, or did it?
We were an hour in, and I had the classic, are we only an hour in feeling? But it sped up after that, I thought.
Yeah.
Also, and this isn't a spoiler, but like a big thing about it as well is like the reason it's 4 hours long is not because there's like extra scenes in it. It's because... It's a film free of the constraints of needing to make a specific duration, and so scenes which can take 10 seconds instead take 2 minutes. That's why it's so long.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But anyway, thank you very much for listening, everybody. Richard, give us the call to action. Where do people find us?
TikTok at AJ from Cult Pop Show on TikTok.
Or at Cult Pop Show, which is an account that's was very quickly kind of put on the back burner as my personal account has started blowing up. So follow me on TikTok.
Yeah, you'll be in good company. Thomas Lennon.
Don't say that. We might have him on an episode. I'll message him. I'll ask him about.
Yeah, I mean, well, like, he's gonna be. Like, oh, I'm not going on because they mentioned me.
He started following me on TikTok, which is why Richard mentioned it. We're on TikTok. We're on all the podcast places.
Yeah,
YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Find us all these places, or you can email us at coldpopshamedia@gmail.com. You can join our Patreon at patreon.com/coldpopshire, or our Discord, which there'll be a link to in the show notes below. And stay tuned for our post-credit scene.
I will.
Au revoir. All right, let's Snyder cut recording.
Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, welcome to the post-credits scene. This is a section at the end of each episode where if you donate $5 or more over at patreon.com/coldpopshire, you get to give us something to talk about in this, the post-credits scene. And today's post-credits scene comes to us from Dylan Hutton, who asks this question, Richard. He says, have you ever crapped your pants in public as an adult? Sorry, you don't have to use this one.
No, I haven't.
You haven't?
Have you?
No, you're going to leave it all on me. Not in public, I don't
think.
Yeah,
not in public.
I've certainly crapped my pants as an adult, though. I feel like crapping your pants as an adult is similar to crying as an adult. Like
I do it once a year.
there was like a decade of my life where I stopped crying and didn't cry again until I was in my 20s. And similarly,
what made you cry? Because you pooped your pants.
they're related. And similarly, I don't think I pooped my pants from the ages like, you know, 7 through till my mid 20s. I've had, you know, nothing interesting.
Yeah, it's just like a shart, isn't it?
Yeah, that sort of thing. I got very drunk when I was very sad about something, and
you were crying.
Was with my friends,
and you shouldn't.
I nearly cried, and I was peeing. I was very drunk peeing. And trusted a fart as the second. We're putting this the end of such an innocuous episode. I don't need to go into what happened, but suffice to say, I slunk out of. I was like, I'm going home to everyone. I had my soiled underwear in my pocket, and it wasn't like. I should clarify, it wasn't like extremely soiled. It was just too much to wear, but not enough that I couldn't. I'm not really going to finish the story. Fuck it. I shat my pants when I was drunk and then I dumped the evidence in a public rubbish bin. That's what happened. And I left a party and then I was like, I'm never telling anyone about this. And then the next day I messaged my group chat and was like, have you ever got so drunk you shat your pants and then left a party without telling anyone?
Yeah, I remember. Do you remember what you messaged me?
No.
Well, I won't repeat
was it. Wasn't exactly that?
No, it wasn't.
What?
Yeah, what'd you say? Because it was about that your fate that you'd in the last 24 hours you'd shitted and farted, and one other thing.
Very nice. All right. Well, this whole episode was such a like not necessarily a beginner's episode, but not a particularly intimate episode. And then we end with a very intimate story that I don't want to release. But there we go. The things I do.
I feel like this episode is one that it's like, you would be like, oh, check out Cop Option, they're real cool. And then you put this on, but this just sounds like any other movie podcast. Yeah.
This is what I'll do if you give me $5 or more a month, is I'll tell stories like this.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.